Begin the current daf, Masech the Sanhedrin, daf Samach Dalet. Begin 6 lines down from the top of the Amid. But the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya in regards to this halacha of Rav Yehuda Merab that said that actually the Jewish people, although we find that they had worshipped idols throughout the history, they actually did not desire, or initially, that desire for Avodah Zarah. It was just an excuse to allow them to engage in arayas and sexual immorality. That's why they said, but they felt guilty. But if we don't believe in Hashem Chas Hashem, if we serve this idol, that idol lets us, and therefore they engage in idolatry. So the Gemara, however, asks on this and continues asking on this teaching. Tashma, Gemara says, let's bring a proof from a pasuk in Nehemiah. It says, V'yizaku b'kol godil al Hashem Elokeihem, that they, which is referring to the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah, the men of the great assembly by times of the second Beis Hamikdash, that they screamed out in a great voice to Hashem their God. So it says the Gemara, Mayam, what did they say? So Amar Rehuda says Vitim, and some says Rabbi Yonason, that they said as follows, Baya Baya, which in Aramaic is a term of moaning and groaning, like in the Hebrew is Aha, like woe. Hainu da'achar ve'labesa, this thing, referring to idolatry, is what has destroyed his house, meaning the Beis Hamikdash. V'kayu le'heichala, and it burnt down the sanctuary. V'katlinu le'tzadike, and it killed the righteous. V'aglinu li'Yisrael me'arayu, and it made the Jewish people go into exile from their land. V'adayin humarakad be'inon, and it's still dancing amongst us. The Avodah Zarah, that Yetzer of Avodah Zarah, is still pulling us down. So they said, klum yahavite'ilon, so they said to Hashem, Wasn't it only given to us? It's to receive reward, meaning that Hashem gave us such a strong desire to fight that, to overpower that inclination, and to receive reward for that, for overcoming that difficulty. So on that they said, we don't want that gates of Avodah Zarah, and we don't want its reward. So that's the narrative, which the Gemara is going to continue shortly. But one thing is that the Gemara wants as far as that you see that there was a Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, which contradicts Rav Yehuda Merab, who said that there was no, they were just using it as an excuse for, it was a cover for being able to engage in arayas. So the Gemara answered for all the previous questions, Basar Davikube. Right, initially Rav Yehuda Merab said there was no desire for Avodah Zarah. But once they started doing it as an excuse, as a kapad for other things, then they really became attached to it, and then they actually created that desire for Avodah Zarah, which went to that extent where it destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Gemara concludes the narrative of Rabbi Huda's teaching. Yasbu Talasu Yemi Betanisa. So the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah, who were bemoaning this desire for idol worship, they sat for 3 days fasting. And Boyirachmi, they beseech mercy from Shemayim, that the Yetzer Hara, that the evil inclination of Avodah Zarah, should be given over to them. So after the 3 days, Nafalahu Piska Mirakiya, Dabakasa Be'emes, so a paper came down from heaven that was written in it the word true, Emes, which sounds like that Hashem was, so to speak, saying that I agree with you with what you're trying to do. It's good to get rid of, at this point in time in history, the inclination for idolatry. Now, Amr B'chanina, he says, Shema Minah, what we can infer from that part of the story is Chesama Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The seal, the signature, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. In other words, when the king is agreeable to his servants and he signs on to what they're signing, he signs his name, when Hashem sent down that word Emes, Aleph Mem Sav, that is his seal, that's his signature. So the story continues that Nafik Kuguya Denurim in Beis Kachi HaKadoshim. So there was like a cub, like a small lion, that came out from the holiest of holies. And Amalu Naval Yisrael, the prophet said to the Jewish people, Hainu Yitzhak Avodah Zarah, that's coming out is actually the physical manifestation of the inclination of Avodah Zarah. So, Bahadi the Katafsi Loi, when they were taking grab a hold of it, they wanted to kill this Yetzer, which was coming through in that way. So, when they were grabbing hold of it, Ishtamit Benisa Minei. So, one of the hairs of the lion fell out. And its voice, when it screamed down, traveled a distance of 400 parsi. So Amri, they said, Hey Chanava, what should we do? Maybe from heaven they'll have mercy on this, because Hashem created every element for a purpose. When they're going to hear from heaven, whatever that means, that there's a screaming or crying from this, the small lion that's the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah, maybe they'll have mercy and not allow the Jewish people to get rid of it. So Amri Navi, so the prophet said to them, Should you be dudu da avra? Put the small lion into this cauldron of lead, and cover it with lead. The shy of color, because it absorbs sound and it will prevent the sound from coming out more than any other type of metal. And as the Chassid, like it says over there in Zechariah, it says Vayemin that he said Zaysarisha, referring that when he said this part of the story, this is the Yitzhara, which was the prophecy of Zechariah who was there at the times of the beginning of the Bayis Sheni when this incident happened. Vayashlich Esel Teicha Eifa, and they threw it into the measurement of the Eifa, which refers to the Yitzhara of a Dzara. Vayashlich Eben Hoifer Eselpia, and they put on this lead stone on its cover, like we said, that there was to cover it, that the screams should not be heard. Now, after they captured and neutralized the Yitzhah of a Dzara, they said, since this is an opportune time, let's get another one of those big three out of the way. Let's get rid of the inclination of desiring the sin of Arias. So, they beseech mercy. And they also was given into their control the inclination of sexual immorality. So, they imprisoned it for 3 days. Now, because of that it didn't have any control, the Yitzhah of Arias, so it removed the warmth of the males from giving birth, from creating children, and from the females of actually giving birth. So what happened was that they were looking for an egg that was a one-day-old egg for a sick person. They couldn't find, because even those eggs that were already completed inside the female didn't even come out. Because all that area of procreation, which is related to the Yetzer of relations, was all gone. Because that Yetzer, which there's things that have a double-edged sword, was not there anymore. So Amidei said, "Hey Chanava, what should we do? Nibaya palga, to request half, meaning that, okay, we know that we need this, because or else people are not going to procreate, we're not going to be able to continue with the world. There's not going to be any food to eat, because there's no chickens going to be laying eggs. So let's request half that, okay, let it not rule over in regards to sin, so that people will not go ahead and proposition for Arias, but then we'll still have the good part." And that they said, Palga Miriki Layabi, they don't give half-baked requests from heaven. It's either yes or no. So what they did was, they knew they had to maintain this Yitzhah of Arayis, but Kachlinu Le'enei, they went and they put this salve of Kheil in the eye of this Yitzhah of Arayis. And the Hanibay, it helped a little bit, the Le'igari Inish Bekroivse, that a person should not desire his own relatives, ancestral relationships like his sister or his mother, but he still does desire things that are forbidden to him, which are not good for him, like a married woman or a menstruating woman. Now the Gemara continues with another teaching on this topic of Avodah Zarah from Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. Ma'isa ben Achas Achas, there was an incident with a non-Jewish woman, Shaisa Chayla B'Yaisa, who was very sick. Amri, she said, that woman, referring to herself, will get up from the sickness and get back healthy. She'll go and she'll serve every idol in the world. So Amda, she got up, she survived. She went and she served every idol that there was in the world. Now, once she reached the Avodah Zarah of Pa'er, she asked its priests, how do you serve this Avodah Zarah? So Amrullah, they said to her, they eat beets, which loosens the bowels, and also B'Sheis and Sheikhah, which does the same thing, drink beer, which their beer was made out of dates and those types of things. And then one releases, one relieves, one defecates right there on the Avodah Zarah. So Amr, she said, better that woman, referring to herself, go back to being sick, and not have to do such a degrading thing and like serve this Avodah Zarah to do that. Now, it says the Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Atem Beis Yisrael Einan Kein. You are with the Jewish people are not like that, because he expounds the pasuk, which the Jewish people were worse than that. The pasuk says in Mamidbar, Hanitzmadim Leval Pa'er, that they were attached to the Baal Pa'er, meaning your fathers, the Jewish people, didn't even think, like this non-Jewish woman, how degrading this Avodah Zarah is from all the Avodah Zarahs in the world, and they did attach themselves. Kitzamet Pasul, when it says they were Nitzmadim, was like this cover that's tightly put on top of a utensil, which they would go ahead and solder it on with this wax very well, where in regards to Hashem, they weren't so attached. Rather, like the pasuk says in Devarim, "Va'atam advekim Hashem lekechem." You, the Jewish people, you're cling to Hashem, your God. Where that was only kishtei tamaris hadvuka zubazu. That's like two dates that are attached. They stick one to the other, which they're sticking, but they're not so tightly. in regards to Avodah Zarah, like a tzamid puzzle, which is in Halacha and Tumah and Taira, which is very tightly on, securely on, you see how the Jewish people did not entertain, like this non-Jewish woman did, how despicable this Avodah Zarah is, and they were even more attached to it than they were to Hashem. However, B'masnitzitan, in the Braise, it was taught that no, this contrast of these two psukim was actually a praise for the Jewish people. Because this Braise learns that the word dibuk sounds more connected than nitzmad. This Braise learns that nitzmadim l'baal pa'ar, when it says that they were nitzmad, they were connected to the baal pa'ar, it's kitzamad al de'ish, it's like a bracelet on a woman, where it's attached, but it's not connected. Meaning, because the bracelet moves a little bit here and there, there's some wiggle space. Whereas, v'atam ad-beikim, Hashem l'keichem, in regards to Hashem, you, the Jewish people, are davik to Hashem, your God, means divukim amish, means sounds like, literally, attached, cling, connected, which is more tightly fitting than nitzmadim. That's the machlekes Rabbi Huda and the Braisa. Turn about the Braisa. Ma'isa b'savta, there was an incident with Savta, who is the name of a Jew, that was Ben Olas, which was a resident of this place called Olas. Shehiskecha maru l'narchos achas, that he rented out his donkey to a certain non-Jewish woman. Kivin shegi l'par, once she, when they were on the road, she reached the Avodah Zarah par, Amrle, she said to the Jew, Hamtun ad shekanes veitzeh, wait till I go in and I'll come out. After she came out, the Jewish owner said to the woman, "Af atamtini achay konis veitzi, you also now wait for me until I go and I come out." Amalei, she said to him, "Lo Yehudi ate, aren't you a Jew?" Amalei, he said to Umayich Beslachem, "What does it bother you?" So nechnes, he went in, par befanav, he relieved himself in front of that idol. V'kinech b'chaymen, he even wiped himself with the nose of that Avodah Zarah of par. Now, and the attendants of the Avodah Zarah were praising him and saying, "Wow, there was never someone that served this Avodah Zarah as well as you." Because as the Gemara quotes, our Mishnah said, if someone relieves himself on this Avodah Zarah, that's actually the way it's served. Which the Gemara explains, even if his intent is to disgrace it, he's saying, "Yeah, Avodah Zarah, I'm going to go ahead and relieve myself on it." He's going to be chayiv a carbon if he does it by mistake, and if he does it after they warn him, he's actually chayiv misa, because that's actually the way it's served, is to do with this degrading act. So too, in the Mishnah says, "Hazerik even l'makaylus," someone throws a rock at this Avodah Zarah makaylus, zui avodasi, that's how it's served, which the Gemara says, "Avakaf to mechavin l'mirkame," even if his intention is to stone it, "Avodah Zarah, I'm going to knock its head off." That is how it's served. It's intended to be like that, and actually, that's forbidden. Whereas the Gemara brings an incident related to this halacha that Rav Menashe have a ka'azla beit torsa. He went to this place beit torsa. Amalei, they said to him, "Avodah Zarah hi dekoyach, and there is an idol over here." So shakal piece, in disgust, he took a piece of earth and shadabe, he threw it at that. Amalei, they said to him, "Markoilasi, that Avodah Zarah is markoilas. Actually, what you just did is actually served Avodah Zarah." Amalehu, he said to them, "No, Hazarik even lima karlis tanan." The halacha in our Mishnah says that if someone throws the stone to the markoilis, meaning in front of it as a way of honoring it, I threw it to knock its head off on the body of the Avodah Zarah. Now, so Asa Shal Bei Medrash came to ask this question in the Beis Medrash. Amalehu, they said to him, "No, you're wrong. Hazarik even bima karlis tanan." The halacha, the teaching of the Mishnah is if they throw the stone in the markoilis, meaning on it itself, to actually hit it, to actually break it, to actually throw it on it, which is avagav to mechav lemerigme, even if his intention is to stone it, to actually throw it at it, that's actually the way it's served. So Amalehu, he said to them, "Okay, ezel ishkala, should I go ahead and now take away this piece that I threw at it?" Meaning, although he already served Avodah Zarah by mistake, and there's no way of undoing that, but his question was, should I take it just so it shouldn't go ahead and adorn this Avodah Zarah, my extra rock or whatever he threw, just take it away, that it shouldn't adorn it? And that Amalei, they said to him, "No, because echra noitlav, echra nois nechayev, whether one who takes away or puts on it, either one is going to be a liability. Because kolchad v'chad derav chalechaver teshavka. Because each one, when he takes away his rock, his piece, it actually makes way, makes space for now more rocks for other throwers to throw because he cleared it out, and that's actually part of the service of Markoilis, and therefore don't go ahead and take it away. That itself will also be chayev for the vaydazara of Markoilis." Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding those of the Niskalim, which we spoke about that of Avaydazara. And another category our Mishnah spoke about that gets skila is hanaisin mizari lamoilach. If someone sends one of his children through this service called Meilach, Ein Chayiv, says the Mishnah, which now qualifies this halach, is not going to be liable for the death penalty of Skila, ad sheyimser lemaylech, until he first gives his child over to the attendants of this Abed Zara of Maylech, and v'yavar be'esh, and second, he also has to then have the child pass through the fire, which we will explain exactly how this service was done, and that it's learned out from Sukkim that both of these elements are required. And therefore says the Mishnah, let's say Masul Lamaylech Lehav Be'esh. Let's say he gave it over to the Maylech attendants, but they never put him through the fire. Or Heve Be'esh Lehmasul Lamaylech, or he passed him through the fire, but never gave over to the attendants. Then in the Chayiv, he's not going to be Chayiv again. Atcher Yimsul Lamaylech Ve'av Be'esh. He's only going to get Skila if he first gives over his child to the Maylech attendants, and then they put him through the fire. Now the Gemara says, Ketani, we had learned in the Mishnah Daf Nun Gimel Med Aleph, which started off this whole discussion regarding those which are liable for Skila. It went through the whole list, and not all our Mishnayos are going through each one individually. So it mentioned Avodah Zarah by itself, that whoever serves Avodah Zarah gets Skila. Ugetani Melech, and Melech was mentioned by itself also as one of those that get Skila. So Amr Bavan, he says, obviously Tanan, our Mishnah is teaching us, Kaman Da'amah Melech Lav Avodah Zarahi, like the opinion who holds that Melech is not considered one of those services of Avodah Zarah. And that's why it's mentioned by itself, because if it was Avodah Zarah, why mention it on its own? Now, the practical ramifications of that is twofold, is that if, let's say, someone slaughters or sacrifices in front of Melech, which in any Avodah Zarah one is Chayiv, because they're generic Avodah Zarah services, but if Melech's not Avodah Zarah, then the person's going to be exempt. And another ramification is, if, let's say, he passes his child through this procedure, which is normally done for Melech, in front of a different Avodah Zarah, which is not normally done like that, he's not going to be chayiv because this procedure was only for Melech. It's not an Avodah Zarah type of service. Melech is not Avodah Zarah, and therefore, even if, let's say, one would be chayiv doing a Shalei Kedarka for a different Avodah Zarah, this is not an Avodah Zarah service. It's only for Melech. As the Gemara says, the time, like Lina Bryce, it's actually machleikis if Melech is Avodah Zarah or its own act which is prohibited in the Torah. The Bryce says, Echad laMelech ve'echad l'shar Avodah Zarah. Whether if one passes his child through the Melech, or whether for any other Avodah Zarah, Chayiv, he's going to be Chayiv, because this Tanna Kama holds that Melech is also Avodah Zarah. And therefore, it wasn't necessary for the Torah to point out the service of passing through the fire that's prohibited by Melech, because if that's the way it's normally served, well then I already know this, as we mentioned this on previous Dafim, from the Pasuk in Devarim Yud Beis, of Echayavdu. We know that any service which is unique to that Avodah Zarah is forbidden. Rather, so why does the Torah mention specifically this service of Melech? Is to tell you, because even if you do it for a different Avodah Zarah, which is not normally served that way, that you're still going to be Chayev for that act of service. That's why it's mentioned, and therefore it's not just for Melech, but it's for all Avodah Zarahs. That's the Tanna Kama. Which Reb Lazar Reb Shimon Eimer, which that's what the opinion that we're saying that our Mishnah is like, La Melech Chayev, no, this service of passing through the fire is only for Melech, Shaloi la Melech Pater. But if it's not being done for Melech, for any other Avodah Zarah, one is going to be exempt because it was specifically mentioned for Melech, which that's how it's served. But again, it's not because of Avodah Zarah, because if it was, then we would know that from Echayavdu. It's rather was a custom that the non-Jews had, which the Torah was particular about, and said that it's forbidden to do that custom upon the death of Skila, and that's why it was necessary to write that act of service of Melech, because it's actually not an Avodah Zarah, and our Mishnah obviously holds like that. And that's why I mentioned Melech individually from the Skila of doing Avodah Zarah. Now, Amar Abaye, he comments, he says, Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon, who we just mentioned, Reb Chanina ben Atignis, that we're going to mention, Amar Davar Echad, they both say the same thing, that Melech is not Avodah Zarah. Reb Lazar, Reb Shimon, Hadamar, he's the one that we just mentioned, who says that this service, this act, if it's done for not for Melech, one's going to be Pater, because it's not an Avodah Zarah. And Reb Chanina ben Atignis, he also says the same thing. The time, like, Reb Chanina ben Atignis, he says, why does the Torah pick this terminology of describing this act that's forbidden in the word Melech? What is the definition of that word? It means kol shehem lichuhu aleim. It means anything that a person makes a king over him, meaning that he calls it Melech, even a pebble, even a twig, becomes Melech, and if he goes and does that service to that twig and passes his child through the fire, he's going to be Chayiv. Which again is the same idea, because it's not really an Avodah Zarah. You can make it up, whatever it is. That's what the idea of Melech is going to be a liability, because it's not an Avodah Zarah. So if anyone makes it into a king of him and he does that service, he's going to be Chayiv. Now Rav Amah, he disagrees. He says, no, they didn't say the same thing. because Melech Aroi Ikebenayu. The difference between them is, like the case of a twig or a pebble, which is a temporary Melech, which is not appropriate to be something of act of service to serving a twig, and it's just that he just made this twig his king over him at this moment to pass his son through that. According to Elazar ben Shimon, says Rava, he would hold that you're not chayav in that case. It's only when you have an established melech that you do the service. Yeah, it's not an avodah zara, but it's melech. It's a custom of passing through fire, but it's the one that you always serve. That's what's forbidden. But just taking a twig, that he holds that he would disagree with, and would hold that one would not be chayav in that case. As we continue to Amud Beis, the Gemara continues explaining that Amar Biana, he says, and he's explaining when the Mishnah had said one of the two requirements of being chayiv skila for Melech is ad sheyimser, until you give it over la Melech. He comes to explain, what does that mean? It means ein chayiv ad sheyimser en la mishas avodah zara, as we explained in the Mishnah, until you give it over to the attendants of that avodah zara of Melech. Shem, like the pasuk says in Meyikra, it says umezarach lo yisiten, that from your children you should not give over to others la havel la Melech, to pass it through the Melech, because we assume that generally, the one who passes it through are the attendants. And if you're giving it over, you're giving it over to the attendants. That's the part of Achim Seren. That means until you give it over to the attendants and they pass it through the fire, then one would be chayav for skila. Says the Gemara, Tanam Hoch is similar in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Yachol hever v'loy masur yichayev. You would think that if you pass your child through the fire, but however, you didn't give it over to the attendants, that there would be a liability. Why would we think so? Because there's another pasuk that says, it says that it should not be found amongst you, the Jewish people, someone who passes his son or his daughter through the fire. And there it doesn't say anything about giving over to the melech. So one would think if one just passes his child through the fire, he'd be chayev skila, even if he didn't give it over. Tamalema, that's why we need this pasuk that says, leisitin, that don't give over to pass through, where the pasuk is qualifying to you regarding the passing through the fire. It's only if it was through a giving over to the attendants, which was this halacha that Rabbi Anna just explained. Continues the Braisa. Masla ma'ilich v'lay hever, like our Mishnah said, you need to have both elements. So let's say one gives it over to the attendants of ma'ilich, but they don't end up passing it through the fire. So yochal yichayv, you would think based on leisitein that you would be liable because it says don't give it over, and you did give it over. That's what the pasuk says. No, it continues. It says, Leisitin, do not give over lahaver, which, as Rashi explains, the Tana interprets this pasuk, that it means to say it's only a giving over that will ultimately lead to passing through the fire. Meaning, and not that it should be understood as if that if you just give it over, that with the intention of passing it through, that one would be liable just for the giving over. No, it says leisitin lahaver, the prohibition of giving over is only if it ultimately leads lahaver to a passing through the fire. Now, continues the Braisa. Okay, so we see you need to have both giving over and passing through the fire. But let's say masav hever, let's say one does both, gives it over and passes it through the fire, but for a different avodah zara, shaloi lamelech, not to melech. Yachal Yechayv says this Braisa, so you would think that one, you would be liable. Tamalei b'lamelech, the supposition is, no, it's for melech. Continues the Braisa. Maser v'hever l'melech v'lei v'eish. Okay, so let's say you give it over, and you pass it through, and for melech, but there was no fire over there. Yachal Yechayv, you would think you'd be chayv, because it doesn't say anything about fire, it just says passing through the melech, and one passed it through the melech. And that says the Braisa, no, nemekan l'haver, here it says to pass through. V'nem l'halna says over there in Devarim, there it talks about Melech too. It says the same idea, and one should not it should not be found amongst you, one who passes through his son and his daughter in the fire. So Malahal and Beish, just like over there that says passing through, and it's referring to fire. Afkan Beish also over here in this passage that says regarding to passing through, it refers to fire. And Umakan Melech, just like over here when we said passing through, it refers to the avodah zara of Melech. Aflahal and Melech also over there regarding the liability of passing through the fire is specifically if it was for the avodah zara of Melech. Now Amar Vach Breid Rav, he says, Hever called Zari Pata, but if he passes through all his children, he's going to be exempt. Why? Because Shanema, the pasuk says, Mi Zaracha, from your children, Veloy Kol Zaracha. It's only liable if you take some of the children. But if it's all of your children, then you're going to be exempt. Now, Bayer Vashi has an interesting question. He says, Heviroi, if let's say he passes his son through, that's a summa, that's blind. Ma would the halacha be? Or let's say similarly, Yashin Ma, let's say he's sleeping, what would the halacha be? Which, as Rashi explains, the question is that considered an appropriate passing through in such a situation where if he himself, if he had wanted to, he could not have walked through? either because he's sleeping or because he's blind. Now, when he passes his child through in such a situation, would that be considered a valid passing through or not? Another question is, ben benayu ben bitema, what's with his grandson, which is either his son's son or his daughter's son? What would that halacha be? Is it only, as one pasuk seems to indicate, bitayu benay, only his own children, or even his grandchildren? So says the Gemara, tifshin mia, one thing we could resolve in the brayso that we're going to bring is chada, is one of the questions that we were asked, that we'll see that one's grandson is the same as his son. Because the Tanya Lutna Braisa, the pasuk says in Meyikra, and this in Perek Chav Pasuk Gimel, it says, there in the pasuk says, V'hechrati oisi mekerev amai, I will give him kares, cut him off from amongst the midst of his people. Whereas the pasuk continues, why? Why is he getting kares? Ki mizari nasla melech, because from his children he gave them over to the Avodah Zarah of melech. Now that is the Braisa, matam alayma, what's the pasuk teaching? Because it's obvious that this kares is going back on what it said before in the Pesukim, that it was talking about someone who passes his children through Melech. Because even the beginning of this pasuk says, "Vani etin es panay beishahu," that Hashem says, "I'm going to put my face in this person's in this person." That is going back on what it says before. Vashayitin mezeri laMelech meisumes, that whoever will give his children to Melech will surely die. So why is he repeating ki mizari nasla Melech? Oh, says the Brayso lafish, because since it says the pasuk in Devarim, lo yimatze b'cha maver b'nayu bita be'ej, it should not be found amongst you, the Jewish people, someone who passes his son and daughter through the fire. So only ele b'nayu bita, so I would only know that applies to only his son and his daughter. Ben b'nayu ben bita, how do I know it applies even to his son's son or his daughter's son? Tamalim, that's what it teaches in actually the next pasuk, which the Gemara is going to address this question, the pasuk right after the one in the Yikra that we just mentioned, besitoy mezaroi, when he gives over from his children, Zareis, any of his, meaning of his descendants, those seed that comes out of him, that what's that for? That's telling you not only B'nai Bita, but even his grandchildren. Now, this actually is, as we mentioned, the pasuk after the pasuk that we started off the Braisa from, of Lo Yimatze B'cha, of Kimizar Nosan Lamaylech. Now, it's not the one that the Tana had started off. We start off with pasuk Gimel, and then the Braisa concludes, and that's why it says pasuk Dalet. So ask the Gemara, wait a second. Tana Pasach, the Tana opens up to Darshan to expound, Bechi Mizari, from Pasach Gimel, from that because he gives over from his children to Melech. And he concludes, and he says, why do we need this for? So he says, oh, because you would have thought, like we says the Pasach in the Devarim somewhere else. Oh, that's why it says, not this Pasach, it says the Pasach after that. And he concludes, Besolik Betita Mizari, and he concludes with the Pasach after, the Pasach Dalet, with giving over his children. How do we read the Braisa? So says the Gemara, Drasha Achrinahu, you're right. That's a different drasha that's being expounded from Pasig Dalet of Sita Mizari when he gives over from his children. Because actually the first drasha was, as the Braisa seems to indicate, regarding the liability of Melech on his son's son and his daughter's son. That's learned out from Zari, from when it says in the Pasig his Zera. Where from they were learned out, it's not only son and daughter, but any Zera, meaning even grandchildren. But then the Tana continues, which the words don't say that in the Braisa, Ainli Ela Zera Kosher, but I would only know that it's, let's say, kosher grandchildren. Zera Pasul Minam, but invalid grandchildren, meaning, for example, if let's say he had a mamzer, a bastard, an illegitimate child, and he passed that child through the fire, how would we know that even there he'd be chai from Melech? That's what the next pasuk teaches when it starts off. If let's say they're going to turn a blind eye and they're not going to do anything to this person who's putting his children through Melech, that it says that in that pasuk it says when he gives over his children to Melech. Now, it didn't have to say those words because we know it's going back in the previous pasuk about the one who's passing his children through Melech. Rather, what are those words extra for to teach this drasha to say that it's any zera, not only zera kasher, which includes even grandchildren, but even zera pasul, even if it's a child of mamzer, he's going to be chayev on Melech. Continues on these halacha, some Rabbi Yehuda says, in a chayev, the person is not liable ad she'avirenu derech havara, until he passes his child through the way it's normally passed through, meaning that he does not change from the custom. Rather, he does it the way their minig was, how to pass through the Melech. Ask the Gemara Hechadam, how did they do this? So Amabai, he says, Shirgud the Livni b'mitzah. What they had was that they had a row of bricks in the middle going up, brick on top of brick, and Nur Mehaigis, and there was a fire on one side of it, and then fire on the other side of it, and it would pass the child over that middle part. Now, as Rashi points out, that actually the child would not get burnt. from the fact that we'll see shortly that one of the cases that's discussed is Hamaver Atzmai. When he passes himself through, he's actually exempt. What do you mean exempt? You're dead already. Obviously, after he passes through, he's still alive. Now, although we had mentioned on the previous daf regarding Chizkiah that his mother had smeared him with the blood of the salamandra, and that's why he didn't get burned, that actually wasn't Melech. That was actually to the gods of the idols of Safravim, where they would actually worship by putting through the fire. Here, Melech is actually this fire part of the procession, but it's not that the child gets burnt in the fire. Rav Amar, he says, Kamashvarsa de Purya. He says that it actually they wouldn't just have the child walk through on his feet, rather they would jump from their feet. Just like children jump, and that's what it's called, like the jumping of Puraya, of Purim, the way children jump on Purim, that there was a pit in the ground and there was a fire burning in it, and they would jump from one edge to the other edge. That's how Rava says this Avodah Zarah was, that they would jump, not walk. Says the Gemara, Tanika, but say the Rava, we have a brayse that supports Rava that says, like we said, that the liability is only if you pass the child through the way it's normally passed through in the service of Melech, which the Brisa says, but if you pass the child through by just walking through, then you're going to be exempt. Obviously, you see like Rava, because the service was not through walking through, but rather it was by jumping. Continues the Halacha, the liability is only for one that comes out of his loins, meaning from his seed. So, okay, it's at how so? But no, you beat the chayv. If he passes his son and his daughter through, he's going to be liable. But of vimay, even family members, but it's not from his own seed, his father or his mother, or echav achayz, his brother or sister, if he passes them through, then pati is going to be exempt. Now, continues the braisa, hever atzmai pati, if he himself passes through, he's exempt. But Allah's Rabbi Shimon Mechav, he also know that the person is liable for passing himself through mailach. Now, continues the braisa, echel mailach of echel l'shav v'dizar chayv, that this issur, this liability of karis, applies to both Melech or to any other Avodah Zarah. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, he says, no, l'melech chayv, shalei l'melech pater, no, only for Melech is chayv, and not for Melech is pater, as we mentioned on Oman Aleph, where that's the machlekes regarding is Melech Avodah Zarah, and then it would apply to other Avodah Zarahs, or is it not an Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's only unique for Melech, and not that this service would be a liability for any other Avodah Zarah. Now, Amma Uli qualifies one thing from this Braisa. My time in the Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, what's the reason of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon that he holds that there is a liability for a person who passes himself through the fire? When the Pasuk seems to indicate, Benoi, Bita, Izari, where do we see that he himself that passes through will make himself liable? So he says, Amma Kra, the Pasuk says in Devarim, Lo Yimatze Becha, as we mentioned before, this Pasuk says, it should not be found amongst you though, that someone that's Maver. Now, Becha means Ba'atzmacha. When it says it should not be found in you, that's maver, that in your own self should not be maver, you should not pass through, is also part of the prohibition. Now that the Gemara asks, for Rabbanan lo yidarshi b'cha, and the Rabbanan who disagree with Elazar ben Shimon, they do not expound the word b'cha as a prohibition to warn regarding the person himself not to be passed through the Melech. But for Tanan, we have a Mishnah Maseches Bava Metzi that says, avedasi v'avedis aviv. Let's say a person has an opportunity to return his own lost object, or his father's lost object. Says the Mishnah, Shalei Kedemes, his own lost object comes first. V'aminim, we said, my time, what's the reason? Don't we have to honor the father? V'am Rav Yehuda, he says, because Amar Kra, the Pasuk says in Devarim, Efes, that's because ki lo ye, that surely ki lo ye b'cha evyon, there should not be any poor amongst you, which that's learned to read, that you should be careful with yourself, b'cha, that you should not become poor. That's of primary importance, which is Shaloi Kedemis L'Shal Kaladam. His comes before everyone else's. So seemingly, the way you're saying it, that you're saying that this is the Machalik Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon and the Rabbanan, that the Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is expounding Becha, so seemingly that's the same pasuk that we have by Efes Kiloye Becha Evyon. So are you saying that that's not Mishnah's knowledge, the Rabbanan, who you're saying they don't darshan Becha to mean yourself? So on that says the Gemara, no, Hasam mi Efes. There, you're right, they don't expound Becha, as we see in our halacha, that l'yimatzei Becha, they don't expound that there's a prohibition of passing yourself through Melech. But over there in the Mishnah B'Metzi, it is like Drabbanan, but that's only because it says the word Efes, ki lo yibucha evyon. And that is because if it wasn't coming to teach a warning, a prohibition regarding you yourself not becoming poor, but rather, as the simple translation sounds like a guarantee, guaranteeing the Jewish people that there will not be any more paupers, then it should have said lo yibucha evyon. Why did it say the word Ephes? The word Ephes is coming to say a prohibition, to say, like the word Ephes can be translated as deceased, that it should not be this thing of poverty amongst you. which, as we find, similarly, Bereshis Memzayin Ki Ofes Kesef, that there was no more money. It's something of a stopping. That's why they expound. So what is Ephes coming to teach? What should we do? Oh, so it's telling us that Lo Yiyeh B'cha Evyon, to make sure that you do not become poor. That's why over there they expound B'cha. And that could be like Rabbanim, but over here where it doesn't say something like Ephes, they don't expound Lo Yiyeh Matzei B'cha, meaning that you should not pass yourself through the Melech. Now, Amar B'Yisrael B'Chanina, he says, Shalish Krisis B'Avodah Zarah Lama. Why does it say the punishment of Kar is three times in regards to idol worship? The three times are, and that's why we're mentioning over here, is because two of them are mentioned by Melech, which is in Parashat Kedoshim. One of them says, "Vani etin is pane beishahu vechrati oisim mikerev amai." Another one says, "Vesamtei anis pane beishahu vemishpachti vechrati oisim beskalazaynim." So the term vechrati two times says karas, which as Rashi says, even if you hold like the man Omar that Melech is not a vaydazar, but still it's called a vaydazar. So that's two out of the three places that by Vardazar mentions Karas. And the third one is in Parsha Shlach Lecha that says, Kidvar Hashem Baza Bes Mitzvasei Hafer He Karis De Karis An Nefesh Ahi. Now, the Gemara tells us later on Perek Achelik and Avtzadik Tesemet Aleph, when it says in that Pasuk, Kidvar Hashem Baza, that he has disgraced the Word of God, what's the Word of God? That's the first of the two Aser Sadibris. Those are the two we heard from Hashem. That's the Dvar Hashem, which was said by Sinai, which refers to Avodazar, meaning there's only Hashem and no other idols. Now, so therefore, and there it says, Avodah Zarah, that's Kidvar Hashem Baza, that's the Avera of doing Avodah Zarah, and it says over there, Karis. Now, although it says, He Karis Ti Karis, that's actually considered as one, as Igmo will conclude this Amid, because Dibra Torah Kol Hashem Yadin, the Torah talks in human vernacular, which is in this redundancy type of terms. And although there's actually another pasuk of Hashem Hu Megadif and Nichrisa, that also the Gemara is going to address later on, what do we do with that other term that it says, Karis? But that's Rabbi Yosef Bechanini's question, why I say three times Karis regarding Avodah Zarah. So he says, Achas Likadarka, one is to tell if a person serves an idol the way it's normally served, there's Karis. V'achas, and another one, which that's actually referring to the fact that the extra time that it mentions by Melech, because if it's not necessary for Melech, because as we'll say, that's the third one that already says one time for Melech, so then we would apply it, L'shaloikadarka, when if someone does slaughtering or burning or pouring or bowing down to any idol, which as we said in the previous stuff, that's a prohibition, it's saying that there's going to be karas, even if it's not the normal way of serving this idol, but these are generic services of Avodah Zarah, that brings karas. V'achas l'melech, and the third one is for Melech, because although that's the way it normally served, but it was required to mention it specifically by Melech, because as we said, Melech is not Avodah Zarah, and therefore the Torah was particular, and it had to mention that there's going to be Karis by Melech, just like there is by Avodah Zarah, because Melech is not Avodah Zarah, which the Gemara asks. But L'man Do'am and Melech Avodah Zarah, according to the pin that holds that Melech is Avodah Zarah, so therefore it was already included in the first Karis that we mentioned, regarding when you serve an Avodah Zarah in the way it's normally served, as we know that that's prohibited from Eichi Yavdu. So Karis by Melech Lamali, according to that Manda Amma, what's the necessity of the third mention of Karis, which was mentioned by Melech? So that says Gemara, because it's coming to create a liability regarding the service of Melech, even if Lamavr Benoi Shalei Kedarka, even if someone passes his son through, not in the normal way, meaning he passes it through not for Melech, but rather for any of the other Avodah Zarahs, which is not normally served with the way we do it with Melech, which we only know up until now that would apply to if you do it in not the normal way, which is slaughtering or burning or pouring or bowing down. That's where this pasuk comes to say that even if one serves in the normal way of the passing through the fire of Melech, for any other Avodah Zarah will also have the punishment of Karis. Now continues the Gemara and asks, Uleman da'am, according to the one who says in Masechtas Krisis, that Megadif, which is not clear in the Torah what the translation of Megadif is, there is an opinion that says that it refers to one who serves Avodah Zarah, to serves, let's say, singing for an Avodah Zarah, which is an act of worshipping an Avodah Zarah, so Karis by Megadif lamali. So then why does it mention Karis by the Megadif, where if that's the normal way of serving that Avodah Zarah, let's say by singing with it, because it's actually Machlokes Masechtas Krisis of Zayin and Alav, there is an opinion that holds Megadif is blasphemy, is cursing God. So that's something else. So it wouldn't be difficult why it mentions Karis over there, because it's telling you for regarding B'mvarach Es Hashem. But if you hold like the Man Dama, the Megadif is another form of Avodah Zarah, so then why mention it if already mentioned it? If that's the way you serve it, that's already from the first Karis that we mentioned. So it says the Gemara Likud Tanya. It's for like, as we learned in the following Braisa, which we're coming to say, like the one of those opinions that the Gemara, the Braisa is going to quote of Rabbi Shmuel, that says, yeah, because it mentions another time Karis by Megadif to tell you that there's Karis in this world and there's Karis in the world to come. As the Bryce says, the Pasuk says in Bamidbar, Hikaris Tikaris, which that's regarding that of one of the Pesukim we mentioned before, that cut off, he shall surely be cut off. What does that mean? Hikaris Ba'il Mazah, he shall be cut off in this world, and Hikaris Lamabah, he'll be cut off in the world to come. That's Divri Rabbi Akiva. Now, Amalir, Bishmol, Shmol says to him, what do you mean? But if that's the interpretation of why it mentions all those times, but then what are you going to do with it? Actually says another time in the Pasuk before that, which is in that same parasha, which is by Megadif, it says, V'nichrasa, and he'll be cut off. What are the three worlds? If you're saying every time it says it, Hikaris is one world, Tikaris is another world, well, what's the first term of V'nichrasa? There's no three worlds. It's this world and the world to come. Ella rather says, Rabbi Shmuel, when it says V'nichrasa the first time by Megadif, and this is answering the question, why say that time by Megadif? That's Bo'il Mazah in this world. When it says Hikaris, when it says he shall be cut off, which is in the next pasuk, which is one of the three creases we already mentioned, that means lo'ilam abad to the world to come. When it says tikaris, he shall surely be cut off another time, it's not being expounded for another thing, as we mentioned earlier. Rather, dibur teri kolashim yadim, the Torah talks the way people usually talk. Now, Rabbi Akiva himself actually holds that megadif refers to mevarach es Hashem, blasphemy, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Krisis. And therefore, he does not learn out lo'ilam haba therefore, that would not teach us regarding Avodah Zarah. Rather, he learns that from Ikaris Tikaris, because V'nichrasa says, talking about a whole different halacha. He doesn't have the difficulty of Rabbi Shmuel. Now, Rabbi Shmuel actually was not asking on Rabbi Akiva that when he says, oh, but it already says V'nichrasa, because again, we said Rabbi Akiva holds that it's not Toma Avodah Zarah. You mentioned Karis by all different Isurim, and Megadav is Mevarach es Hashem. Rather, Rabbi Shmuel was explaining his own opinion. He was just talking that way. He was saying, well, what do we do with V'nichrasa? And I hold that V'nichrasa refers to Avodah Zarah. Whereas Rashi brings similarly in Masechtas Chulin of Samach Testament Beis, we find the same idea where that's the way they would speak. We say, but what are we going to do with that? Now, that's not difficult on his disputant, because his disputant, like in this case, Rabbi Akiva holds it's not talking about Avodah Zarah. So don't ask me, what are we going to do with that Karis? It's not another third world. And therefore, to know Oil Mazar Maba, I know from Hikaris and Tikaris. But Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. He holds that Megadif is a way of Avodah Zarah. So he's bothered by that question. So he gives a different interpretation, which again addresses the question we asked, what are we going to do with the Karis of Megadif? That teaches that there is going to be Karis not only in this world, but also in the world to come. That's why it mentions another time. And although it says Hikaris Tikaris, that's mentioned as one Karis, because Dibur Teri Kolashim from the other, and that's how the Torah talks. It talks in redundant type of terminology, is the way people usually talk.